it was a bit of a surprise. I knew one of my subordinates had told me that I was nominated for this and put in for the award, and I didn't quite understand the breadth of it until the award came out. And then my boss and boss's boss both congratulated me on the nomination, so it was a really big surprise.
The information on the partnership website says that you oversaw creation of an electronic system that collects patient data from disaster victims and makes it available to the medical institutions that will receive them. Talk about what you saw that catalyzed you to want to go ahead and do this. What was the problem that you were addressing here?
Well, boxes and boxes and boxes full of paper records from Hurricane Katrina was probably the biggest driving force. We had 165,000 patient encounter records that were generated from our teams that were deployed into the Gulf after Hurricane Katrina. To try to sift through those and find a paper record of somebody that had requested a copy, even more importantly, in the long run, to really understand the breadth and nature of what we were asked to do there and how to best support patients during the disaster was a really driving need. And you just really couldn't do that in any timely sort of fashion with those boxes of records.
When you start to develop a system like this, do you look at the information that you're trying to collate? Do you look at the technology that's available at the time to try to harness that information, or is it some combination of both?
It's a combination of both, but in particular, the driving sort of issue is documentation of a patient encounter is, of course, done by the healthcare providers that are doing the encounter. And they're weighing giving direct patient care in a disaster environment versus what to put down on a piece of paper that supports that patient care. So clearly we need to do something that doesn't impact their ability to deliver care, but also gives us important information that also can save lives during that same operation. And so that was our driving force behind that. And actually that was somewhat realized during our once we deployed it and got it in particular. The most challenging of our recent deployments has been the response to the Haiti earthquake. And we fielded it in that environment and were able to see in real time the nature of injuries and illnesses that we were encountering, and help us to make very quick decisions on additional support that was required in the field.
When you're trying to develop a solution like this, how far and wide do you have to cast to make sure that you have all the stakeholders involved that need to have input on this?
Well, it's a very good question. Our main focus was to support decisions within our own operations. We oversee all the federal government's response in terms of the public health and medical responses. So we did engage close federal partners. And then in particular for us, it needed to be usable in the field by frontline clinicians, and that's what we really engaged the bulk of our efforts. But there are some additional information that's really relevant to our stakeholders. We have a fusion cell that tries to really engage all of the various federal and state stakeholders that are involved in the transmission of that information. We're always there on the bequest of a state, for example. So the state wants to have information about the breadth and nature of their injuries for folks that, you know, so that they can understand what happened to their state.
You talked about the idea of needing a solution that would collect the information that is needed without impacting the ability of the first responder to deliver the care that they needed to deliver. How do you strike that balance? How do you determine what's too much to ask that person to do as far as collecting and disseminating information?
Well, we actually took the first step was to really hone down and decrease the amount of information that we were asking for and ask the clinicians, if you were receiving this patient, what critical information would you want when you're receiving that patient that would really sustain the individual's life or limb? And in considering what they're being asked to put in the field. So we've really reduced it down to about 12 elements of critical information that must be entered on those patients. So that was a very challenging part of this whole project. Still is.
So you are a finalist in the Career Achievement Medal, and the partnership says this award will recognize a federal employee for significant accomplishments throughout a lifetime of achievement in public service. That means that the system that you developed is not the only thing that you've done. You also have set up a system whereby responders can be screened for compatibility with environmental hazards. That's something that just... thinking about it at the level of I do, I would have never thought about that. One example that's listed here is people with breathing and respiratory issues might be more affected in an earthquake area with lots of dust. How do you collect all of the possibilities and inventory all of the potential possibilities that one should be screened for before one is assigned to a particular theater of operations?
Well, that's a really good question to ask, and the challenge here is to have evidence-based information. That is, if somebody has a health condition, just because they have a health condition doesn't mean they can't deploy or go into an environment unless there's some information, science-based information, that health condition poses an increased risk when they're exposed to that. So we do a thorough review of the literature to look at what those conditions are that need to be identified. In addition, we try to work into that equation some measures that the individual responder can do to reduce their risk. So, for example, somebody who's had a prior heat injury or is overweight, for example, they're more at risk for heat injury with physical exertion, and those kind of environments would be really tough. But you can give them a guidance about how to develop some exercise and heat tolerance. And before deploying, that's a very, very important bit of information that can reduce their risk.